the new general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, making his first appearance on our show here on Brady and Walker this season, is Ross Atkins. Great to have you on, Ross. How are you?
Great, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Great to chat with you. Well, let's start there. Ben Revere is out. He was very good as a Toronto Blue Jay in a very brief span. You were able to watch him then. Andrew Storen is in. What made this deal so attractive to you?
Yeah, you know, a few things. One is we obviously feel very good about our offense and also feel very good about our defense. So the area that has been the focus has been pitching. One area of depth was left field, and we felt as though this is kind of the second piece of the equation. We felt as though we weren't really maximizing Ben Revere and Michael Saunders on the same team because it would be hard for them to play every day. And saw them both as everyday players and everyday pieces. Would we like to still have Ben Revere? Sure, he's a great player, and the depth is a great thing. But just saw that to be an area that we could potentially subtract from to add to our pitching.
It's so funny. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say... It's funny over the last calendar year, one of the positions that's been debated the most is the guy at the top of the order, the leadoff hitter. We've seen a number of guys there. Would you describe, like, if Ben Revere is a conventional leadoff hitter, would you describe your group as an unconventional offense?
There's two questions there. I would say one, in speaking of Ben Revere, I would describe him as a conventional leadoff hitter. He gets on base at a great clip and can turn a single or a walk into a double or a triple with the base stealing threat. However, with our offense, that base stealing threat wasn't quite needed as much. And so therefore, that shifts to your second question, that need for that prototypical or conventional leadoff hitter is lessened. Would we like to have that classic lineup? Sure, I suppose. But to us, it's not going to be about necessarily how. It's going to be more about making sure that we do. So we have not struggled to score runs. I don't anticipate the Blue Jays of 16 to struggle to score runs.
Ross Atkins joined us, Blue Jays GM, on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. I guess sometimes if I were to ask you, hey, what are your plans for this? You can easily say, well, they're not set in stone. So I like to phrase it in a best case scenario. I'm sure you've envisioned that. But Drew Storen comes in a best case scenario when you're, you know, making games into a 5-6 inning game. What does that look like for you?
It's a great question. And I'll be very frank with you and extremely honest that, you know, I don't have that best case scenario with names attached. So it's a great question, and I promise you that I'm not ducking it, that the most powerful thing about this is the flexibility and depth it created with pitching. So there's many discussions to be had. There's a lot of things that still have to happen over the course of spring training, over the course of getting ready for spring training, and as we get underway. So, you know, I think with the addition, and I'm assuming you're referring to how does that bullpen line up, who's pitching the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, I don't want to dance around anything. I promise you I'm not. It's just we need to stay flexible there and really see, you know, how guys are throwing and where they are at the time that we make those decisions. And then in addition to that, we may not be done. There may be other things that we can do. So, and then the last piece of the equation is we're not so certain who exactly is going to be in the bullpen and who exactly is going to be starting. So again, I'm sure you would like to talk about that as well, or people would. And that is something I would have a very similar answer to.
Would you like to have at least the option to really take a long look at Sanchez and Osuna starting, if not both or one of them?
In an ideal world, yes, but I don't think we'll be afforded to do it. It depends on how you define long too. You know, listen, we're going to do whatever's best for us to win in 2016 without sacrificing too much the future. So if you're talking about weeks, absolutely. Once you start to talk about months, that's a whole nother challenge. So, you know, we need to work through that. And there's several pieces to the equation. And, you know, there's things that I have my personal opinion on, and then there's things that the group will collectively collaborate on. But one of the biggest contributing factors there is what guys have been doing, what their track records have been, how they've had success. And when I say how, there's so many pieces to the equation: their delivery, the stuff, how they're getting out, how effectively and efficiently they're getting out, their medical track record, their tolerance for getting up quickly and pitching on a nightly basis versus, you know, pitching on a 5-day rotation. So all those things that I have opinions on. And then there's a group of people that have been working very closely with these individuals that I need to collaborate and work with. And then certainly we need to include the players in the process. So there's just so much work to be done with plenty of time to do it. But a lot of work still yet to be done to make before we make a concrete decision that way.
Ross Atkins, our guest on Brady and Walker. How fluid are your personal opinions, your personal theories, right? Because the game is ever changing. Kansas City, a big part of their success has been loading up the bullpen. And this offseason, hey, the Yankees already had a great back end. They'll go out and get a role this Chapman. Is there anything, you know, with even the Storen move or any moves to come that could be described as reactionary? Do you view the game differently than you did, say, 6, 12, 18 months ago?
You know, so first question, how fluid is my personal opinion? I would say, you know, it's a piece of the equation, and I try to weight it appropriately based on the expertise or the area of expertise. If it's an area where I feel stronger, that I have more expertise, then I'll weight it heavier. But really, my opinion is going to be as fluid as the situation and the information dictate. So your second question about whether or not there has been an evolution of how I view the game over the span of what was the time frame you said? 6 months?
Well, 6 months, a little longer, even you know, since the rise. We'll say since the rise of Kansas City in the last 24 months. We'll put that kind of time frame on.
Okay. You know what? It's constantly evolving.
Sure.
From different interactions, from different research, from, you know, from a conversation you have with a Josh Donaldson to a John Gibbons versus the conversations I've had with Michael Brantley and Terry Francona. So, you know, everything shifts, and sometimes things are really reinforced, and sometimes you hear things a different way that make you view things a different way. So to me, this game is all about people. It's all about the players. There will never be any absolutes. And we're working in the gray. So if I'm not evolving, we're not getting better. So I would say, you know, it's a difficult thing to answer. It's a great question, but constantly I'm evolving that way. And I think one of the most interesting things that has happened over the last two to 5 years really is how everyone talks about analytics and the impact that has had. Well, you know, the impact that information, video, data being so readily available to everyone, the opportunity to learn from it and to figure out ways to reinforce or just ensure that philosophies are strong or decisions are based on data, based on evidence. Not that they always will be, but the more that you can do that and beat people to that, the better that you can be. You know, having said that, back to the first statement that I made, the most important thing that we do is learn from the players that played this game at the highest level and make sure that we're listening to their thoughts, their opinions, their needs, and complimenting them the best way. Because to me, just my opinion, no matter the level of analytics or information or data that you have, if you don't have a clubhouse that's cohesive and a clubhouse that's led with a desire to win and less focus on individuals, you are really behind the eight ball. So with all the data and all the information and all the evolution, the things that happen, the more that I am around Major League Baseball players, the more I, you know, my evolution, or I am reinforcing my belief that that desire to win, that character, that trait of players that fear losing and don't fear mistakes. And, you know, that creating that environment is absolutely first and foremost. And I think the Blue Jays have done a good job of it.
Ross Atkins joins us on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and Coast to Coast today on Sportsnet 360. So Ben Revere out, and it shines the spotlight on Michael Saunders a lot, and probably Dalton Pompey a little bit. What is the confidence level? What are the expectations for these two guys in 2016?
Great question. And so I would say confidence level is very high. Michael Saunders is a great player. He is someone that can impact the game defensively, base running, obviously offensively, and really excited to see what we have in him. And as I said early on, we felt as though we had two everyday players there. Now we're going to find out. And, you know, looking forward to embracing that challenge. I think Michael is, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. He's an exceptionally talented athlete, so and deserves a chance to go out there and play on a regular basis and complements our lineup exceptionally well. And then on Dalton, you know, Dalton is someone that has a lot of talent, has a lot of drive, and wants to be a part of this. And so, you know, I really need to learn more about where he is and how soon we feel like it's best for him and best for the Blue Jays to make an impact, because there's one thing that I do feel really confident in saying, that, you know, getting players to the major leagues when they're ready and they're ready for the challenges that, you know, they will face. And it's not just, you know, the different pitchers, and not just the increased level of stuff that the pitchers have. It's not just the pace of the game. It's all of the distractions that come with it. And it's all of the pressures that come with it. It's being in an environment where people absolutely expect you to win every night, and what that means for your preparation, what that means for your in-game focus, and what that means for your post-game evaluation and awareness of yourself. And so I know that there's players on the Blue Jays roster that are going to hold people accountable to that, and we want to make sure Dalton's ready for that when he comes to that environment. Every player. And that's a tall task. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand when the players are ready, and I've seen it firsthand when they're not.
You guys have talked a lot about this. We talk a lot about it on the air as well. And hey, lots of fans phone in and people give their opinion. But it's when we talk about the Blue Jays, it was an awesome 2016, the rebirth of baseball in this city. And then there's this year, and then there's the future. Like, when we talk about long-term sustainability and stability as an organization, I think everyone has a different opinion on how to achieve that. And the two names that come up a lot, obviously, are Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. There's a lot of, well, I'll ask you, how many moving parts are there here? Because we're talking about what extensions would look like. We're talking about what trade returns would look like, and how much of it has to do with the first half of next year. How do you view the future of these two in Toronto right now?
You know, it's been really, we're in a good situation. We want to win, and Jose and Edwin want to win. So we're going into this season with very similar goals. And we will always, with every player, this isn't independent of them, try to understand their comfort level, their needs, their desires, their interests, and balance them with ours. And we will constantly work to do that. And it really isn't specific to them that we're always going to be thinking about that. Certain players heighten the need to do that based on timelines, impact, what they mean as leaders, what they mean to the environment. And that's all a balance. So what I can tell you is that we will always have open dialogue with players along those lines.
Is it as easy as, I mean, if one of these two guys knocked on the door today and said, hey, listen, like, this is where I want to be. We need to figure this out, before the season starts. Does that change things?
Yeah, you know, when players state a case of this is what I need, sure, we'll react and work with the player. I think, you know, it goes two ways always. There's always two sides of the story, and they're what I believe, what I know Mark believes from having worked with him for over 15 years is that there's really not always one way, but our personal belief, my personal belief towards solutions is transparency and understanding the challenges and goals of both parties. So when that occurs, our doors don't shut. You know, they're wide open.
Ross Atkins, our guest on Brady and Walker. One more before we go, and I guess it's more on you personally. It's been, you know, the city and the fan base, they're getting to know Mark. They're getting to know you, and I know it hasn't always been easy at times. It's been a really interesting year here, but I true or false, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but perception when, you know, there's the first press conference and you guys are up there, perception was maybe you took a back seat a little bit. Maybe you were a little quieter. You've been on the job now 2 months. Are you more comfortable? Are you more confident in your assessment of the organization and what 2016 looks like and what the future and the plan looks like for you?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I'm absolutely more confident every day. I've been blown away by, you know, the environment in Toronto. I've been blown away by the fans, by the interest, the passion, the media, all positive. I love it. I love every second of it. This is why you do what you do, to be in and around that type of energy and passion. So, you know, internally, Tony LaCava, Andrew Tennis, Perry Minasian, Joe Sheehan, these guys have really worked hard to collectively and as a team get Mark up to speed, get me up to speed, and continue to push things forward. So every day I feel more confident. And then what I would say, you know, secondarily is that regardless of day one versus day 45, you know, it's my belief that when you're viewing a team from 30,000 or an organization from 30,000 feet, and all you can do is read about them and ask questions about them and not really get in depth into what the strengths and opportunities are, that would always be the case, that you're coming in to learn. And so that's how I've approached it. That's what I will continue to do. But I have a lot of confidence in saying that I'm a lot more confident today of my intel than I was on day one.